the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you another beautiful song today and continue with our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. But before that, I want to remind you that this is the last week of our gift offer, the special offer in honor of my late mother's birthday. It contains a CD and a book, so I hope you will listen after the message to hear more about it. Right now, let's hear Lead Me, Savior, and then Dr. Green.
Now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Dear Heavenly Father, lead us now as we study today. In Jesus' name, honor thy word and save some precious soul for Christ's sake. Amen. Yesterday, we spent the entire broadcast on verse 30 in John 7. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. Now today we'll continue with verse 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Greek scholars tell us that the word translated more does not mean so great a number. Now it is true that Jesus had performed or worked a great number of miracles, but the meaning here is, when Christ comes, will he do greater? Will he do more outstanding miracles than these which this man hath done? But let's discuss the first part of the verse. Many of the people believed on him. Now, we have no right to think that they were not truly saved. Let me put it this way. If they were not truly saved at that very moment, they believed all the light they had. Of course, Jesus had declared himself the Son of God. He had declared himself Messiah. And he had made it clear that he was the one sent from God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the people believed on him. Now, this doesn't mean that the rulers, the chief priests, the scribes and the elders, but the common people, many of the people believed on him. And these people who believed on him declared that Christ could do no greater miracles than this man has done, and even no greater number of miracles than this man had done. Now, in verse 32, the Pharisees, now that means the leaders, not the common people, but the scribes and the elders and the rulers in the synagogue, the Sanhedrin. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things. Now, no doubt the people were afraid of the leaders. In fact, they did fear them. And they murmured, that is, they talked quietly among themselves, no doubt. And so when the Pharisees heard it, they heard the people talking, probably speaking in a low voice about Jesus. The Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him, officers to arrest him. In other words, they said, we've let this fella go far enough. It's time to stop him, and we'll stop him. We're not going to allow this freelance preacher to go about over this countryside any longer. So they called, no doubt, the very best officers they had, and they sent them to arrest Jesus. Now, verse 33. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Let me stop right there. Jesus knew their hearts. He was omniscient. Of course, he still is. Jesus was omniscient. He knew their heart. He knew their mind. He knew their thoughts. And he knew that they were planning to arrest him. So, with a sad heart, with a grieved heart, with a broken heart, he said to these people, just a little while longer, my hour has not come yet, but just a little bit longer, if you'll bear with me, you won't need to arrest me. Just a little bit longer. Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Now, you see, there is much in that verse of Scripture. Jesus declares that only a few days remain, and he'll be crucified. And he declares that when he is crucified, he's going back to God Almighty, and he is the one that sent him into the world. And that is the very thing that made them so angry that they took up stones to stone him. They tried to destroy him. They wanted to kill him. And yet he announces again, a few more days, a little while, just a little bit longer, and I'll be going back to God the Father who sent me. In the next verse, Jesus makes a startling announcement to his enemies. He announces to them that when he's gone, when he departs, they will seek him, but they will not be able to come where he is. Now listen carefully. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. Where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? Now that statement means, will he leave us and will he go to the Greeks? In Romans 1, we read in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now it is true that Jesus came to the Jews first. He offered the gospel to the Jews first. I believe in Jewish missions. I certainly do. I have contributed, that is, the Gospel Hour. The ministry that I head, the ministry of which I am the head, has contributed thousands of dollars to Jewish missions. We believe in Jewish missions. But, dearly beloved, they had the gospel first. You remember Jesus came. Well, John the Baptist came announcing Jesus. Then Jesus came preaching to the Jews. Then he sent the 12 and he said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then the 70, two by two, he said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They certainly had the gospel. Now, they're asking the question here, will he leave us and will he go to the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? Now, in verse 36, what manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Now, we'll stop right there. And there are several important things that I need to point out in these verses today. I've already pointed out in verse 31 that many of the common people heard him and believed on him. And they said, when Christ comes, can he do greater or even more miracles than this man has done? In other words, why should we doubt this man? Why should we doubt him? You know, Nicodemus said, We know that you're a man of God. God sent you. God is with you. No man could do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So down deep in their heart, they knew. Surely they knew. But, beloved, they were looking for a gigantic, outstanding military leader, a great king to deliver them from the Romans. But Jesus came to deliver them from one more powerful than the Romans. He had come to deliver them from Satan, the devil, and save them. And, of course, in the process of time, he would have delivered them. You see, the cross came before the crown. The crown of thorns came before the crown of glory. So many of the common people, the ordinary people, believed on him because they said, no man could do greater, no man could do more miracles than this man has done. So when the Pharisees knew it, they sent their officers to arrest him. Now we'll study in verses 46 and 47 and 48, we'll study the officers going and returning without Jesus. They couldn't arrest him because the words of Jesus arrested them. Now, there's another reason that they did not arrest Jesus before this over here in verses 46, 7, and 8. They were afraid of the mob. You see, the minority, that is the rulers, the chief priests, the outstanding Pharisees, the outstanding religious leaders, were the ones who hated Jesus most, and they wanted to destroy him and kill him. And so they hated him to the extent that they would have done it, but they were afraid. They were cowards. In other words, they were afraid of the mass of the common people, and they would not take him. They could not take him when there were so many ordinary people around. And remember, this is feast time. And of course, there was at that time, of course, always multiplied thousands of visitors in Jerusalem and traveling the roads to Jerusalem during the feast time. And so they were afraid. Now, they had come to arrest Jesus, and Jesus knew it. So he said, now, just a little longer, just a little bit longer. My hour has not arrived yet, but it won't be long. And of course, when we reach chapter 13, you'll notice Jesus then going the last mile of the way. Now he said, you've come to take me. And he said, I'm going in a little while. I'll be going to my Father. I'll be going back to the one who sent me. And he said, now when I go, you'll try to come, or you'll want to come, but you can't. Now let me give you a practical, down-to-earth message during the next 4 or 5 minutes here on this particular verse. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, yet a little while and I'll be with you. I'm going. I'll go back to him that sent me. Now, he said, when I go, you'll seek me. You'll seek me, but you won't find me. You won't find me. And where I am, you cannot come. Now, it is just as true today as it was then. You don't find Jesus when you get good and ready. You don't push Jesus around, and then when you make up your mind that you need him, then go and find him. Now, I mean by that simply this. You say, I'll serve the devil, I'll sow my wild oats, I'll live like I please, and I'll get saved when I get a little bit older, and when I get married and settle down, and when we have children, I'll get saved. Listen, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. That's what you're going to do. Now, these very people that Jesus spoke to that day, just a little bit later, he sat on the Mount of Olives and he cried, he wept, he shed bitter tears, and he said, your house is left desolate, is, not will be, is. Now, just a little bit later, in the year 70 A.D., Titus the Roman butchered and slaughtered and murdered. The history tells us, of course it's not in the Bible, but Bible history tells us that he butchered 5 million Jews. Think of it, 5 million. Now, that's not so many today maybe, but back then, that was, and of course that's a lot today, but back then, that was certainly a gigantic, unheard of slaughter. 5 million, think of it. Now, here's what I'm saying. Jesus warned these people. He said, now you've come to arrest me. You've come to arrest me. I've come to save you. You've come to arrest me. Now just a little while and I'll be going back to the Father that sent me to save you. But you won't let me save you. You want to kill me. You want to take up stones and stone me. You're going to arrest me, and you want to condemn me, and you want to do away with me. Now, he said, I came to save you, and just a little bit longer, and I'm going away. And when I go, then you'll seek me, but you won't find me. You'll try to come where I am, but you can't come where I am. Now, let me tell you something, sinner friend. I'm talking to the sinner now. I'm talking to that sinner man, sinner woman, that sinner young man. And young woman that's listening to my voice today, I'm talking to you. If you want to be saved right now. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Don't put it off until next time you go to church, if it should be even tonight. If you should be planning to go to a revival meeting tonight, this very night, don't put off salvation. No, do it right now. Do it right this minute. Now, I don't know exactly what time you're listening to the Gospel Hour, because this program is heard from 4:30 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. We're heard on many stations all through the day and up to the 11 o'clock hour at nighttime. So you may be listening at 4:30 in the morning. You may be listening just before 11 at night. You may be listening just before noon. You may be listening at 8 o'clock in the morning, 9, 2 in the afternoon, 3, 5 in the afternoon. I say to you, regardless of the time of day, as you listen to my voice now, if you're not saved, today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time, right now. Not tomorrow, not some other time, not the next time you hear the Gospel Hour, not when you retire tonight, no, no, but right now. Today's the day, and now is the accepted time. And if you hear the voice of God, harden not your heart, give your heart to Jesus, and let Jesus save you right now. Do it now. So he said, you'll seek me, but you won't find me. Isaiah tells us, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he's near. In the Proverbs we read, boast not thyself of tomorrow, thou knowest not what the day may bring. In James 4 we read, say not today or tomorrow, we'll do this or that. But say, if God wills, I will live. If God be willing, I'll live. Don't say, I'll do this or I'll do that. Then James asks, what is your life? It is as a vapor. It appeareth a little while, and then it vanisheth away. Now, today's the day, and now's the time. These dear people, they were standing in the presence of their Savior. And he said, you won't receive me. You don't want me. You won't have me. You think I'm an imposter. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe in the virgin birth. But Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And we read back here in the first verses of this chapter that his own brethren did not believe in him. No, sir. They would not have him. The closest friends, the very closest earthly relatives. I'm talking about from the standpoint of man. He was God in flesh. Yes, but he was man. He was the Son of God, the Son of Man. Very God, very man. Yes, and his own close friends, that is from the standpoint of the flesh, would not receive him as Messiah. So, he said, the Jews said, rather, where is he going? Where is he going? And then they thought maybe he was going to preach to the Gentiles. They thought that he was aggravated with them and disgusted with them, and maybe he was going over and speak to the Greeks and the Gentiles. But no, he was going to heaven. And he said, you can't come. You won't believe on me. You won't receive me. I told you about the bread of life. I said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you would not believe it. You turned and walked away. You will not believe in me, and therefore you cannot come where I am. Now let me give you this warning, my friend. If you want to go to heaven, get saved right now. Don't put it off till Sunday. Don't put it off until tomorrow. Don't put it off another hour. Don't even put it off until I finish this program. You'd be surprised at the letters I have in my file. Precious daddies and mothers and young people who've died, gone out to meet God while I was preaching on the radio. Now, that's right. I have those letters. And people write and say, Daddy passed away. And I had a letter the other day. I said, my dad was shouting the praises of God when you left the radio. Said he waved his arms and he praised God for the Gospel Hour. And in just a few minutes, he went out to meet God suddenly with a heart attack. Now, brother, let me tell you something. It is appointed a man wants to die. It is appointed a man wants to die. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You may go out to meet God in the next 30 seconds. You may go out to meet God in the next 60 seconds. You may not have even that long. May God help you. All right. You seek me, but you won't find me. They said, where is he going? Now in verse 36. Some said, what manner of saying is this? that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Well, I suppose they thought he'd lost his mind. I suppose they thought Jesus had cracked up and had gone mad, insane. They said, what kind of a saying? What kind of talk is that? What kind of language is that? There he is, a man. There he stands, a man. We know his brothers. We know his relatives. We know his mother. And of course, they thought Joseph was his father. But the Bible points out distinctly that Joseph was the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. God Almighty was the father of Jesus Christ. Doesn't make any difference what anybody says. Doesn't make any difference what you've heard preached or what you've read. God Almighty overshadowed Mary, the Holy Ghost, and she conceived and brought forth her firstborn son and named him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And all who did come, he saved, and all who will come, he saves. But you must come, and you must come today. So they said, what kind of a man, what kind of a saying? You'll seek me, you cannot find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Of course, Jesus was speaking of heaven, and they did not. Now, here's the thing about it. Listen, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he was thinking in the realms of the natural, the natural. He could not think in the realms of the spiritual, the supernatural. He said, I don't understand it. How can a man when he is old be born? How can a man be born when he is old? So you see, he was thinking of the natural birth. Then the woman at the well, she said, the well is deep. And you don't have any bucket or chain. She didn't say that. She said, you have nothing to draw with. You have nothing to draw with. So she meant you don't have a chain. You don't have a rope. You don't have a bucket. She was thinking in the realm of the natural, see. She wasn't thinking of spiritual water. Nicodemus wasn't thinking of a spiritual birth. And of course, these people and the Jews back here, the crowd that he spoke to in John 6, they said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, we know the words Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit in their life. So he gives us his flesh to eat. When we receive the word, when we appropriate the word, when we take the word into our heart, we're eating the flesh. That is, we're eating the life because the word is life. The word brings life. The incorruptible seed brings the new birth, and that's life. Now here, they couldn't understand it. They said he's going somewhere, so he says. He tells us that we'll seek him. We can't find him. We can't come where he is. What kind of talk is that? Of course, that is spiritual language. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned, and he cannot know them. Now, if you want to be saved, all you need to know, Jesus loves you, and he is saying to you, come unto me, and I'll save you. Come unto me, and I will in no wise cast you out. Father, in the name of Jesus, save every soul that's under conviction. Reclaim the backslidden. Revive the indifferent. Dear Lord, God bless every believer that needs a blessing. Save that soul that's nearest hell for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and I want to thank you for tuning in the program today. We appreciate you being with us, and I hope you learn something to help you in your Christian walk with Christ. Now, many of our listeners and friends ask from time to time, what about the Gospel Hour? How did it begin? How did it grow? How did it get to where it is today? And we will answer a few of those questions in our offer for this week that I'm going to tell you all about. Now, it's called Gift Offer O, and it's in honor of my mother's birthday. My mother was born on October 15, and she got married at a fairly early age to my dad, and then, of course, she was with him all the time until his untimely death. So she knows more than anyone about the Gospel Hour, and part of our offer is an interview with her. Now, this offer has that interview as well as a book by my mother, and all of that is available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $10 or more. Please send more if you can, 20, 25, 50, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And also, I know that many of you know young preachers and wives of preachers and so on. You may want to order several sets of Offer O to share with others. You may order as many as you can use. Just remember to tell me how many sets you want, and please send the donation of at least $10 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you first a book by my mother, a hardback book, 104 pages long, entitled Everlasting Life. What does that mean? What does it mean? This is an in-depth study from the Bible by my mother. And there's a foreword by my dad that sets it all out very plainly as to what my mom will be explaining. Also, there's a second sermon in the book, The Sin Unto Death, a very great book. Then we have what I was talking about earlier, a compact disc we call A Journey of Faith. It's an interview with my mother about her life with Dad and in building up the Gospel Hour ministry. It's about 40 minutes long, and in addition to the interview, we have 5 songs that were my mom's favorites, such as Day by Day, In the Sweet By and By, and so on. So to get the CD and the book, just ask for Offer O and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.